name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Usually, our Eucharistic celebrations begin with a prayer that I think is worth praying every day. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The church, us, is a place where grace and woundedness coexist. Everyone has been touched with a wound. We have been disappointed in life sometimes, and we have been less than disappointed other times. And there have been successes in our lives. The question I would ask you today is, what do the weeds in this parable represent to you? And what might the seed of wheat represent? Remember a couple weeks ago when I was preaching, we talked about micro acts of compassion? How about that for a seed? One seed sown in the heart of an 8-year-old child that stays with me today. So perhaps God planted this deep micro-compassion capacity in each one of us. And as we imitate those who have shown micro-compassion to us, it spreads. Now, I don't know if Patsy Brierley is here today. I don't see her. Patsy and I worked at Lloyd Continuation School together. No one wanted to work in the continuation school. So I got a job. Not a long line. In fact, my master teacher, a guy named Mike Gold, I was getting offers in North Torrance and other places, and I said to Mike, I really want to work here. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And then he went to the assistant superintendent of the school district and said, threw his keys on the guy's desk and said, if you don't hire Corner, you can find somebody else to teach continuation. I had a contract that afternoon. Not on merit, but certainly on the desire to spread micro-compassion among kids who had been labeled what? Weeds. They were the weeds of the Sentinella Valley Union High School district. They did not fit in. They did not belong. Some were drug addicted. Some were violent gang members. Some just didn't go to school. And when they came to Lloyd, our school, they were treated to micro-compassion. And we saw lives changed. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to allow the micro-compassions you have experienced in your life to be shared with others. They are like the manna in the wilderness that goes wormy after a day. It is something that needs to be shared in order for it to be received. And each one of us has a place in our lives where we know micro-compassion matters. It's a matter of discernment. And so when we pray for God to look into our hearts and to see that deep desire that God put in there in creation to imitate the gift of God, which is love, and compassion and empathy and caring for the least among us. Now, further on in Matthew's gospel, you'll get to Matthew 25. And when Father Parker's funeral was held here, that was the reading. That was the gospel for that day. And it's called the Judgment of the Nations. And first, those who are judged not to have cared for those who were in need. And they always ask this question: when did we see you naked? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in prison and not visit you? And the answer is, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, your brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. Now, what's fascinating is that the next group that's judged, the sheep, they have the same question. When did we see you and fed you? When did we see you thirsty and gave you to drink? When did we visit you in prison? When did we comfort you? Same answer. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. This Old Testament reading, if you haven't read the story of Jacob from beginning to end, it is a kick. It's like watching Grey's Anatomy for how many seasons? I don't know. I started watching, and you immediately start to make judgments about the characters. I don't like that guy. What a jerk. And then maybe a season down the road, you realize that there was something else in that person that was enviable. That was something you'd like to see in your own life. And so it is with Jacob. His name, Jacob, means usurper. Someone who grabbed the heel of his brother, who was being born first as twins, so that he could have a photo finish. And somehow grasp the blessing of the firstborn. Well, and it turns out his brother had some issues too, and was willing to sell his birthright to his brother for a bowl of soup. I think they were lentils, I'm not sure. He was hungry. And the birthright he thought was just his because he was firstborn. Might have been a photo finish. Well, and then Jacob's mother, Rebecca, what a sweetheart. She works with Jacob in fooling the dad into giving the final blessing to a guy who wasn't in line for the final blessing. He was a deceiver, and so was Rebecca. Now, if we were to judge him right now, how many of you would do this, and how many would do that? But like us, the story isn't over. And you have to read the rest. It's a great story. And in this story, we see Jacob on the run because his brother is going to kill him. And Rebecca has sent him off to her brother's home, Laban. And Laban ends up being as much of a trickster as Jacob and gets him to work for him for 14 years for free. Tricks him into marrying the older daughter and not the younger one. He has to work more time to get the younger one. He is being transformed by suffering. His micro-compassion is being honed through the difficulties of his life, slamming into his own egocentricity and his uncle Laban. And so the story today is him going back. He's going to meet with his brother, and he doesn't really know what's going to happen. But he goes back, and at their greeting, they embrace one another, and he says, "In your face, I have seen the face of God." And they split up the land and live peacefully, coexisting. Your story is filled with acts of micro-compassion offered to you, some scarcely, others abundantly, and how we take that gift can transform us. Over 31 years at Lloyd High School, I saw lives changed. I think I've mentioned before my friend whose life was changed. He graduated at 22 years of age, the oldest graduate we ever had from a high school that wasn't adult ed. Lennox 13, tattoos all over, brilliant writer. He had been given a gift. And over the time that he spent with us, he was transformed. One story I'll have to share with you. Roberto was his name. He was part of the leadership team. And they took the senior citizens of Lawndale and paired them up with our leadership kids. And Roberto had a little old white lady who lived in Lawndale who called him Bobby and would call him on the phone and say, "Bobby, can you come over and help me? I need to go to the May Company." That's Macy's. And here's this guy. He's huge. He's got Lennox tattoo on the back, walking through the brassieres at the May Company. And she said, "Could you please hold my purse?" And there he was, standing next to her walker, holding her purse and experiencing micro-compassion. Transformation. You want born again? That young man was born again. And when he graduated, he was the speaker, one of them. And he said, "Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child." And he went, "It took the whole damn village to raise this boy." This reading today is not to create anxiety about if you're one of the saved or one of the others, it's going to go. It's an invitation to look at the desire of God that has been planted in our hearts and to let that desire flourish. Amen.